This is the one. If you're talking about a woman who is just gonna be on fire, who's just like gonna. Do you know who Thor is, right? The superhero Thor. If there was gonna be a female superhero that was like that, it'd be this woman. So, and we're gonna look at her and we're gonna highlight who she is. You know who she is, but we're gonna just talk a wee bit about who she was, what she did, and the respect that she had. And that's the respect that we expect women to have. Because you're a woman, you're not insignificant. We love you, we respect you, we admire you, we think you're great. And we don't see you as insignificant. We don't see you as less important than men. You are so welcome to be part of this congregation and part of this church. And if you weren't here, we would be a whole lot worse off. So we think you're wonderful. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Judges chapter 4? It will not come up on the screen. And this is great, honestly. This woman, if you're a woman and you want to model your life on a biblical woman, this is a good one to pick. Seriously, if you're looking for somebody with a bit of oomph, do you know who just does not take any rubbish and just tells it like it is, this is your woman, okay? And we're going to look at that. So Judges chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Note that last bit. Was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honour will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali and 10,000 men. She led Israel at that time. And I don't know if you've read the book of Judges. The book of Judges is exciting. There's a bit of gore and a bit of fighting, and you men are into that. But women, read about Deborah and you can be in on that as well. It is great. No messing about. Straight in there. And she led Israel at that time. And we're not talking 5 minutes. That she just had this brief say where she was in charge of Israel for, you know, just for a week or two. 40 years. 40 years. Deborah judged over Israel. And I have to tell you, has anybody seen the movie Batman v Superman? Has anybody seen it? And so in that film, Wonder Woman comes in on the scene from the whole DC Comics thing, right? Now, if you're kind of ages with myself or just around about that, well, Willie, of course, that was an anointed day. But when we were younger, there was the Wonder Woman cartoon, and Wonder Woman was great. Man, Wonder Woman has got nothing on Deborah. Even the Wonder Woman in that film last night, and she looks a bit of a warrior in that, she's nothing on Deborah. And like, Xenia warrior princess? Who? I mean, she's wet and wimpy, do you know, compared to Deborah. Or even if you want to think of Joan of Arc, come on, give us a break. Now, let's look for somebody with, do you know, a wee bit of muscle, a bit of presence about them. Boudica? Not a chance. And so Boudica was somebody who apparently led, do you know, around about the time of the Celts and that whole thing, and she was a princess in Britain and a warrior and wet and wimpy. I have to say, Deborah was the woman. You know, and if you are a woman and you want to model yourself on a biblical woman, pick this one, if you've never done that yet. She would sit and the people would come to her. She was Miss Everyone in those days. She was the president, the pope, Rambo, the queen, all that bundled into one female body. She was a woman. And she was all those things and more. And she didn't mess about. She did not mess about. And she was the fourth of the judges that ruled over the Jewish people after the death of Joshua, which was a couple of hundred years before. But she was a woman. This is significant. And one of the most famous women in Jewish history. But she didn't just lead the country. Do you know how the Israelites eventually complain and they're like, oh God, we want to be like the other countries. We want to keep up with the Joneses. So we don't have a king. And we don't. And they're complaining and complaining. And Samuel's like, how long will I put up with you? Okay, we'll give you a king. And you see where that went. Do you know, because they wanted to keep up with the Joneses. They wanted to be, we want to be like them. Do you know, and so God gave them what they wanted and it just didn't work. Under the judges, you had Deborah and it worked well. And she was good. And they had peace under her rule for 40 years. And after Ehud's death, who was the judge beforehand, the Jews forsook the ways of Torah and the law and adopted loads of idols from their neighbours. And as a consequence of that, God delivered them into the hands of the king of Canaan, Jabin. And his royal residence was in Hazor. And his cruel general is Sisera, who's mentioned in the story, and he oppressed the Jews for 20 years. He was not nice. He hated the Jews. And he had a well-trained army, a cavalry, and in history, do you know, you can see this. But he had iron chariots. At that time, most people had wooden chariots. They had iron ones. And they were more superior to other people. They were like the tanks of the day. And they were like, yeah, we'll just crunch them. It's kind of like monster trucks. Do you want to just, we'll just crunch minis. We'll just drive over them and the whole thing. And so that's what their chariots were like. And so the Jews were suffering terribly under the rule of the Canaanites. And Deborah lived in the mountains of Ephraim, and the midst of sin and idolatry. And she remained true to God and the law and the word. Under all the other stuff that's going on around about in the country. And she continued to be faithful to the Lord. And she would sit under this palm tree. And she would hold court in the open air. Everybody could hear her. People would come to her for advice. And she would warn the Jewish people about how they needed to turn from their evil ways and return to God. And the entire nation respected Deborah, a woman. And this is very strange coming from a religion that, as we know it and as we read the Old Testament, that they don't value women at all. And she's a woman and she's judging the nation and judging it well. And she had repeatedly warned them. And then she was the wife of a man called Lapidoth. And which means torches or light. And in the Jewish writings it would tell you that it would, between her and her husband, they brought light to what it is that God wanted to do at that time. And it was the effect of this holy woman and that she had on everybody around her that she spread the light of the Word of God. She was great. She was incredible. And it was fortunate that she had this great influence. Because even the strongest and noblest men in those days gave up hope of turning the tide against the Canaanites and oppression and idolatry. None of them felt that they could do anything about it. And then when Deborah felt that she had helped the people return to God, she sent for Barak, where Barack Obama gets his name from. All right, she sends for Barak, who's the son of Abinoam. And some people would say that Barak's just another name for Lapidoth and that he was her husband, but we'll leave that. But he was the most influential man in Israel at the time. He was a man of influence. He was a man. He was influential, most powerful man in Israel. But what is said in the story is incredible. In verse 8, Barak, the most influential, most powerful man in Israel at the time, said, "If you go with me, I will go." He's a big Jesse. He needs a woman to hold his hand. "I'm too scared, I'll go if you go." It's like when you were in primary two, isn't it? You need to go to that toilet. "Oh, but that's the one at the back of the stage. I'll go if you go." And the kids are like, and Barak, the most powerful, the most influential man in the country, is asked to go. "I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." The Lord had said this is what's going to happen. Deborah, at this time, is fulfilling the role of a prophet. And she's telling him, the most powerful, most influential man of the time, "If you go with me, I'll go." What? "You're the most powerful and influential man in the country. I'm a woman." None of that. What does she say? "Very well. I will go with you. But because of the way you're going about this, the honour will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. "I'll go if you go. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going." You'd be dying to just jump up the whole camp and like, "Scaredy cat, scaredy cat." And he was frightened. He needed a woman to go with him. A woman. I've seen women in action. And when they get that bit between their teeth and you say something against them or against their kids or their family, whoa! He's like, "See ya, lock the door and hide." But Barak must have been like this all the time. He was feared. He didn't even want to go. because he had seen the impact that the Canaanites had had. I'll go if you go. I sat and reading this week and I'm like, I'll go if you go. It's like, man, it reminds me like I was six. Do you know what I remember? Having to go to the shop across the hill from where we lived. I'll go if you go. And then when you have to cross the big road, oh, scared. I'll go if you go. And you hold hands and you run across together. And I'm like, that's what Barak's saying. And it's easy to think, you know, that when you were six, Barak isn't six. Barak is no some wee, well, maybe he is, but he doesn't initially come across as somebody who's wet and wimpy. He's the most influential and powerful man in Israel. It's like, who's the most powerful and influential man in Northern Ireland? Whether you agree with it or not, but who would it be? It's some political figure, isn't it? Probably. And that's like them saying, right, you need to stand up and go for this. And then him turning around to his wife and saying, well, I'm not going unless you go. What would happen? Can you imagine the papers? Can you imagine the news? The normal TV shows would be stopped. And it would be like, such and such is a sissy. That would be the headline. It would be in the front page. It would be in the back page. It would be in the middle pages. It would be in every page. Such and such is a sissy. And because in our culture here, even though we say that it's no like that, we still, unfortunately, view men higher than women. And it was even worse then. And yet the most influential, powerful man in the country is reluctant, nay, absolutely terrified to go and do what God has called him to do unless a woman goes with him. I love that. I really love that. And I think that is even more empowering for women. Women, you need to feel the empowerment coming at this stage and like, oh yeah, more of that, give me more, come on. And you have that. You're allowed to have that. There is a biblical precedent, more than just Deborah, for having a bit of va-va-voom about you. You're allowed to do that. So, Sisera learned of Barak's approach and led this huge army against the Jews. And naturally the well-trained and armoured Canaanite troops had no difficulty at first. Just be like, just batting them aside and winning. And then God, doing what he normally does, throws confusion into their ranks. And heavy rain turns the battlefield to mud. And the metal tanks of the day, the chariots, get stuck in the mud. They can't move. Terrified by this sudden turn of events, the mighty warriors of Sisera start to flee in every direction. Who's the Jessies now? And they start running, and they're fleeing. And the overjoyed Jewish troops start pursuing them to the very hometown of Sisera, Charosheth. And not a single soldier of the Canaanite army survived. They slaughtered all of them. And Sisera, when he realized his defeat, he left his chariot and he ran. And seeking a place to hide, he came to the tent of Heber, the Canaanite, and who was a descendant of Jethro, who was related, but he was Moses' father-in-law. And this Guy had been in good terms with Jabin, the king. And so Sisera accepted the invitation of Jael, Heber's wife, to go in the house until the Jewish army, or into the tent, until the Jewish army passed. And do you have any water? And Jael gives him a drink. And then, because he's exerted himself quite a bit, and the armour and the whole thing, and running through this thick sludgy mud, he falls asleep. And Sisera is delivered into the hands of a woman. He thinks that she's there to help him. He thinks that she is on his side, but she's a Jew. She's a Jewess. And as he falls asleep, Jael kind of creeps over with a big tent pin, big tent peg, and drives it right through his temple. That's another brave woman. But Deborah had said, because of the way that Barak had approached it, that it wouldn't be him who would be glorified for it, it would be a woman, that the enemy would be delivered into the hands of a woman. Deborah led it, and the man is delivered into the hands of Jael, and she drives a tent peg through his temple. Kills him outright. The predictions and the prophecies that Deborah had came true. And the victory, the highest glory of the victory, belonged to a woman. Not to Barak. How different might it have been when Deborah says, Barak, you're an influential man. You're a powerful man. Get your army and go and rout these Canaanites. And if he had done that at that time, do you think the Lord would have honoured Barak? I think he would have. But somewhere, some point, God must have knew he was a bit of a Jesse. He must have known that he needed a powerful woman, and used a powerful woman to begin what it was that God wanted to do at this time. From her prophecy right through to what happened through the battle to the end, everything came to fruition, and Deborah's aim was accomplished. The oppressors were defeated and the Jews were free again to live their own lives in happiness. And both Deborah and Barak saw it that the Jews remained loyal to God, whom they had forsaken during the Canaanite reign. Deborah was a judge over Israel for 40 years, but her and Barak, and so when it mentions Lapidoth at the beginning and then Barak, but both of them together led for 20 years. And that's where there's a suggestion that he could well have been her husband. But they done it together. The country was led under the wise guardianship of Deborah and Barak. But the thing is, the significant thing is, the land had peace. And if you know anything about that part of the world, how often does it have peace? And they had peace for 40 years because Deborah was obedient. Deborah made herself available. She made herself available to the people, but she made herself available to the Lord. And then she listened and obeyed. Obedience should never, ever be underplayed. She was obedient. and her obedience led her to then. You know, talk about women being subjugated by men. She was on the other foot here, and she obeyed what God told her to do. And when somebody is obeying God and somebody's no, it doesn't matter what sex you are. As soon as you're obedient, God's going to use the obedient one, whether you're a man or a woman. And in this case, it was a woman. Talk about empowering. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And do you know that in Hebrew, for the Hebrews, it's really important how they name their children. And incidentally, I knew I was going to do this at this point. Christopher and Gemma Spence have had a baby boy. And they've called him Noah. Noah Patrick Spence. He was, ladies, I know that you're dying to ask, he was he was big. And but for the Hebrews, they would name their children for a specific reason. And Deborah's name meant bee, as in bzz, bumblebee, right? And that's what she was named. And Devorah, how they would pronounce it. And one of the things is that if you think about what a bee does and a queen bee, that all the other bees will gather around her and do everything they can to protect her, but they are the bee that's in charge. And you look at how her life panned out, that she was in charge of Israel. She superseded the most powerful and influential man in Israel. The people came to her. But what else does a bee do? It collects pollen and nectar for other people. And what she did is she heard the voice of God. And she didn't keep that for herself. But she, in obedience to the Father, gave what God had gave to her to the other people. Talk about a fitting name. An aptly named person. An aptly named child. And I don't know how you feel. I don't know how that grabs you. But the story of Deborah, and I'm a guy, and I'm thinking, the first person I thought of was Wonder Woman because of the new Batman v Superman movie. And it's an interesting movie. But when you think somebody like Wonder Woman, Xenia Warrior Princess, Boudicca, you know, all that, Joan of Arc, and Joan of Arc was great, don't get me wrong. Not a patch. When you think of the context that Deborah was in, where women were naturally oppressed by men, it had happened from the start. And yet, because she was obedient, she superseded the most powerful and influential man in the country. Fantastic. It's empowering for women. And it's, do you know what? It might not happen all the time, and I'm okay with that. And if you're a woman, I hope that you're okay with that. But what it does clearly show is that, do you know what? Women, when you're obedient and you do what God has told you to do and you listen, you can rise to the top. And should you rise to the top, I, for one, am going to stand back and applaud you. Because just because you're a woman does not mean that that can't happen. Do you want to stand? Excuse me. And the thing is that even though that's a story about a woman, because she heard from the Lord clearly, it further then empowered Barak. Even though he was a Jesse. You're all right with me saying that, do you know? And I mean, I don't try to cast, you know, like aspersions on his character or anything like that. It was just to get the story across. But you see the influence that Deborah had and the specific influence that she had over other men. The roles were completely reversed because of her obedience, because she listened, because she did what God told her to do. And there are people in this room right now, and God is speaking to you, whether you're a man or a woman, and he's calling you to be obedient. We have talked many times in this church, and please know this. I know obedience isn't easy. Because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But the thing is that pretty much nobody's doing it. I don't mean in this church, but everywhere. Obedience is challenging. It's difficult. It's hard to keep up with. But God has got a call in your life. He has specifically asked or told you to do something. And now is the time where you need to say, okay, God. It's very much like Isaiah when he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Here am I. Send me, Lord. And you're like, and the God's just looking at him like that. You did ask. And so what I need to say to you is, if you have ever asked the Lord and said, God, I really want to go and do this. He sent you this morning. You did ask. Because you're in your head arguing and saying, oh God, I don't want to do that. But when you think back to 12 years ago and you're sat in your bedroom or wherever you were and you're sitting, relaxing, seeking the Lord, and you say, God, I'll do that for you. Well, that time when you said that, he's now saying to you, you did ask. And when Isaiah says, here am I, send me, Lord, the Lord was like, okay, you did ask. And so you need to know that when you asked, the Lord's saying to you now, okay, now I need a wee bit of obedience from you. It's time to go. It's time for you to do that thing that I asked you to do. Now, I don't think that means every single person in the room. It might. But there are people in the room right now and your insides are turning. If you ask that, they're talking about that. It is churning and you're like, oh man, that's me. I know that's me. And you're a wee bit, oh no. But that's alright. And if that is you, I pray now that the blessing of the Lord will come upon you and the freedom for you to be obedient and to follow the word that he has called you and the thing that he's called you to do, that you'll do it with obedience. Father, I pray your blessing now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that where we need to be obedient, that we would be obedient now in Jesus' name. I pray that we now would surrender what it is that we want to do and what we want to be and where we want to go to what it is that you want us to do and how you want us to do it. We surrender that to you now in Jesus' name. And we ask for your forgiveness for taking control. And we, if this is you, stretch your hands out. And we stretch our hands out to you now, Lord, and we say that, will you take control? Remember who it is that's steering the ship. It's time to take your hands. Do you know if you've ever been in a car and you try and take the steering wheel when somebody else is driving, it can get messy? And the Lord's saying, yeah, I'm driving. Get your hands off the wheel. And it's time to allow him to drive the car, to steer the ship, to fly the plane. Use any analogy you like that best fits with who you are. So, Father, we surrender the control.